Yeah, let me welcome Simo Sorcha from Italy. Okay. Let me welcome Simo. He's done some work on one of the core infrastructure projects of Samba 4 that make life a lot easier for several aspects of Samba 4 coding, which is the LDAP-like TDB extension. We have a local API that looks a bit like LDAP. Here's the data model of LDAP, and he has extended it. And yeah, that's what he's going to talk about. Welcome, Simo.
Thank you, Volker. I have to apologize in advance. Sorry for the display. My video card doesn't like too much this projector. Sorry, because today I woke up with a really bad headache. Jeremy claimed that I had too much beer yesterday. It's not the case, but anyway, sorry if I start speaking something strange. Okay, I will speak about LDB. So what is LDB? LDB is basically a database interface. It has an LDAP-like data model, and that means that it supports LDAP-like search inspection, but it is schemaless. This is the fundamental of LDB. It is modular, has two backends, TDB or LDAP. Yes, it is an LDAP interface, an LDAP-like interface that can be used against an LDAP server. I have modules that can stack each other over, so that you can modify your queries. And when you use a TDB backend, it's very fast at indexing and retrieving data. Not many ignores, but as Trish said, Samba is database driven internally. This is since Samba 2.2, where TDB was introduced. We need to be database driven because SMBD processes need to communicate each other. There are very important data that all the processes need to know and in a fast way. So we use TDB as an inter-process communication system. One of the most prominent examples is the locking tables. As many of you know, Samba translated the locking from Windows 32 API to the POSIX locking. The match is not perfect, so it has to keep tables to make things consistent for the Windows users. TDB is used for that. TDB is a multiple writer hash table that resembles MercurTD. The most important thing is it is multiple writer. That means that we can update different portions of the same, of the database concurrently without having a big lock. In Samba 4, we noticed that for some of our operation, TDB was not enough. TDB was fast, but had no good search and indexing capability. It has no search and indexing capability. So, why LDB? TDB has number of limitations. Single key, single value mappings. All you have is a key and you can put a value in the TDB. Nothing more. Every record is a binary object. You have to construct the data you are going to put in the value portion of the key value mapping. There are no indexing. There are just one traverse function that you can see as a single index. Programmers need to manually convert data structures to binary strings. That means that if you are going to put a complex structure in the TDB, you have to marshal and unmarshal all the data and put that binary string inside the database. Programmers need to manually keep indexes if more than one index is needed. I've hit this problem, for example, in TDB SAM. TDB SAM is the TDB version of the SAM of Samba 3. I was one of the developers of this Samba backend, and one of the things we need when looking at SAM we need to look by name, by seed, when searching a user. So we had to keep a number of keys to index other keys when we were looking for seeds. A different set of keys where we are looking for names, for usernames. This is prone error. There were also, during the programming, there were also great mistakes in keeping the data consistent, and show that the TB has a very great limit when you have to search data through different paths. One of the things we have is that Samba are on different platforms. We are trying to keep TDB platform consistent, and so you need to also manually care of that endianess if you want to be able to move TDBs from one architecture to another, and that rely on the programmer that uses TDB. So why LDB? LDB solves most of the previous problems. It has many advantages, and taken direct from LDAP as idea. Custom indexes, you can create a virtually infinite number of indexes. Very powerful search strings. You have mostly all of the syntax of the LDAP search queries. It is somewhat hierarchical in that you can use the same DNs that you find in LDAP. And structures can be easily modified or extended, because you can just add attributes to an object, like in LDAP. Being schemaless means that we don't have to build a schema and bind to it. We can just add new things to objects. And we also have some of the advantages of the TDB. It is fast, and it could be made multi-writer. Currently, it has some limitation because of locking. We just do great big locks because we need to modify indexes when you add new entries, but that just is a place for optimization. So we thought of using LDB for persistent databases, like the SAM, like the secrets database, and to keep TDB for caches, like file locking for its speed, and the ability to be multi-write. How is it implemented? All the complexity of handling the complex data, like indexes, like having indexes, like storing a big blob inside the database, has been standardized and concealed behind an LDAP-like API. This was one of the most important thing in LDB. So LDB takes care of building indexes, and it does it live. If you add a new index, LDB rebuild completely the index. If you add, if you remove it, it's the same. And indexes are also entries in the database. We have no auxiliary files for indexes, like, for example, BDB or LDBM. We keep everything in the same file, so that everything is self-contained. LDB does not need a schema. So you can just put any arbitrary attribute value pairs inside any place in LDB. So, which are the greatest limitations compared to LDAP? We currently have no asynchronous calls. We have no page results, but we are working on that. Keys must be representable and ultimate thing can contain commas or braces. No transaction, not journaled currently. We are looking for possible replacement for TDB or just these functionalities to TDB. Of course, when you use the LDAP backend, that depends on the LDAP backend. On the LDAP server, it can be transactional or journal or whatever. We have no pre-post indexes. Indexes, for example, if you search Lightning Song S star, we don't have an index that have all the S with all the values. We have to do a full search. have limitations compared to TDB. We don't have explicit locking code. That's not really true. I've added a very raw experimental locking call, but I just exposed the TDB one. We have no locking call for LDAP, but that needs a lot of tests before being really useful. So let's pick out LDB utilities. Of course, to be able to manage LDB, we need utilities. Currently, we have utilities like the ones you find in LDAP. We have a search utility, add, delete, rename, modify, and edit. I'm going to show you the same, nearly the same set of default switches. One of the most important ones is the LDB URL. To the LDB URL, you choose to either use a TDB or, for example, an LDAP backend. This is an example of LDB search. I don't know if you see this. LDB search means ice TDB and the TDB file, and this is the filter, and this is what is done. It is quite similar to LDAP. We have no authentication at this point, not at least at the LDB, and I don't think we will add authentication when directly tied into to the LDB database. I think we will add authentication inside Samba, but the direct access to LDB will never be properly authenticated. All the authentication you have are the permissions on the LDB file, TDB file, and when you use LDAP, API, LDAP with LDAPI, you have always the file system. Yes? Yes, of course. I will show you some example now. Yep. Yep. I don't think that's much more. Sorry, just... FN, what was?
12524.
12524. Yeah. Thank you. We think I used some export. I have the path for my Samba 4 installation. And LDAP URL, so that I don't have to specify the URL each time in the command line. So a basic LDB search. Let's see the help, for example. You can specify the URL. You can specify the scope. Base sub 1. The base DN. To the expression for SDN and other options like manually enable or disable modules, for example, kernel support. So, we may do something like this. And you have everything that's in my database. So just I try to limit it to the users, for example.
Some users.
As you see, we have all the records exactly like LDAP. We have an LDIF complete format. Okay. We can easily add, for example, users or other objects.
But one of the
let's go on and show later. One of the most interesting utility we have is LDB Edit. LDB Edit lets you explore and change database in text editor. What it does is do a full search or a search to a search inspection of the database and load the LDIF into an editor that you can choose.
and then you can modify it and save the modified version back into the database. This means that you can just save the LDAP file to have a backup of the code of the whole database if you do LDAP edit -A. That means load it, load everything. You can choose a field that reads the subject of object or, for example, a single object. The only recommendation, be careful when you modify objects with the minus A. Do not touch indexes.
I show you.
For example, edit on. Yeah, I loaded up only the administrator users by the name filter, the filter based on the name, and I can easily change anything here. Like adding something in the comment. Oops. And save it, and you find that it modified one field into the database. If you search for it, it modified. Okay, description. I made it all. Just save it, for example, TMP backup. I now have plus I have some schema loaded, so I have quite a big number of objects. Yeah, and you can find the LDAP here. If you want to restore a database, all you have to do is do LDAP edit -A, load the previously saved LDAP, and save. And you have restored your database. When editing the database, you may find strange object that starts with an at sign. At sign is special in LDAP. An at sign is used to name special server DN names that contain properties to change the behavior of LDAP. We can store set indexes in the index list object. We can change the behavior towards attributes with the attributes object. Set a class here, if we have add subclasses, and list the number of modules to be loaded on by default, when you open the LDAP. That's it. And for example, this is the index list that I have currently on my database. That means for name, semicolon, object seed, object class, member, unit ID, unit name, and privilege, I have index. If I search for this object, I will have a fast search. I will not have to go through the whole database to find out the objects. Attributes. I can specify that some attributes are, for example, case insensitive or wildcard, or hidden. When an attribute is hidden, it is not normally returned on an LDAP search. You have to explicitly ask for the attribute. This is a recent addition. Subclasses, what does it mean? It means that if you are looking If you're doing a search on the object class object and you're looking for person, for example, then it means that you have also looked for organizational person and for user. That means that you will have a complete card search because we are not obliged to add an object class object organizational person if you have already object class user. And finally, one of my favorites, because I've worked on that, modules. Currently, I load these two modules by default. And the at least attribute show the modules, and the order in which they are shown matter, because it means that they will be loaded in that order, and they will stack each other in that order. I can also make searches, or like for example an ad, and specify that I don't want a module, just given this option. Let's say that I don't want this MLDB module, I can specify the module. Or let's say I want to test one of the modules that I have in LDB, but that are not loaded by default, I can just specify timestamp schema. And that means that when you add something, the first module call is timestamp, then the schema check all the addition, and then all the information go down to the backend. Well, the LDB API is for programmers, people that want to use LDB inside their programs. It is very simple. There are very few functions: connect, search, add, modify, delete, rename, error string. You may notice we don't have close or free functions. That's why we decide to make LDB based on Talloc. And Talloc takes care of cleaning everything up. Every time you do a search, get back context that you can just free with Talloc. Every time you do an LDB connect, you have a context that represents the LDB. And when you want to close it, you just free it with Talloc free. And you will have everything closed, all the memory cleaned up, etc. So, this is a little snippet of code from Semaphore and how to use it. Oops. It's really easy. It is really similar to LDAP. Just set the headers. In this case, I choose to make my search into an object seed. And where they search, you have to specify the LDB context that represents the LDB database, a base, a scope, in this case, subtree, what I'm looking for, the headers I want back, and the results, where to put the results. And then just access the results to get out the data you have asked for. So you can do complex searches. This is really easy. This is just one object. I assure you that you can have really complex searches LDAP-like. And you can also specify the scope, the base scope, and attributes you want back. So, this is pretty nice, but I found the need to add modules to LDB when we started making LDAP server. So, how to extend LDB? All modules intercept any LDB API call, all the calls you have seen before, previous slide, are intercepted by any module. Modules are responsible to handle them and pass to the next module the correct information. The backend, TDB or LDAP, is just the last module that is called in the stack. It can easily be seen as a module, but it's always the last. Modules can be loaded in the desired order when you provide the string in the at modules, DN inside the LDB or on the command line. You also choose the order which modules are loaded. Because multivariate attribute doesn't preserve the order. That I made it that way the first implementation was made that way, but when I added the schema module, I needed it to be the last one because other models were modifying the object. So I had to be sure that other models were behaving correctly and check the schema only after all the other models. And models can be loaded automatically. This is good because that way you can assure that nobody makes the wrong modification to LDB because they have not loaded the modules you require. This can be skipped. Yeah. So, this is a simple schema how things work. You have the LDB API, you have a request, goes through all the modules, goes down to the backend, and then things goes in the database. The answer comes back and passes all the modules. This way you can, inside the module, modify queries, but also results. For example, timestamp modules add timestamps to every object that passes through, does nothing to the result. Currently, I have no models that modify the results, but simple thing you can do is for example, expand some attribute or change some attribute for whatever need. For example, for the LDAP server, we may need to hide some kernel attribute. So we will use probably some sort of module. And this is a way, example of how you can intercept calls, for example, in the schema module. If the schema module doesn't like the operation you're doing, you can just bypass the last step and throw out an error directly. You can consult the error because also the LDB R string can flow through the modules. But in that case, you need a bit of collaboration from other modules. Make sure they intercept correctly the call, so they send you back an error when it really has been an error. So this is the currently available modules. Some LDB is the most used currently underneath. It handles all the user group machine identity operation. It searches through the LDB database for templates. You have templates so that when you build a user, you can choose what to put there by default. And what you need is just to use something like this. You don't need, this came out from the Active Directory LDAP implementation. They do not have to provide the correct LDAP because in some operation they just add attributes internally. So you can do something like this with LDB module. Then create a user. And tell the object class is user. And just use or specify the same account name if you don't want a random thing. Okay, oops. Yeah, sorry. Okay. So, if we search for it, you have it. As you can see, we have a lot of objects that I have not specified. But through the LDB SAM module, is all added by default. Is how the Active Directory behaves. If you connect to the LDAP server and put in the same thing, the same LDAP I made, you will find all these attributes created by automatically. So this is some sort of preparatory work for our LDAP server. And it just is nice to show how powerful can be a module, how can recent change data. So, what do you need to write a module? If you can find it easy to browse the scale.c module that is not a real module, but it's there just to help people understand what God uses. Yeah.
Just nitpicking the why you're using that style of initialization on the structure rather than one with the .name stuff. Because that's a real pain when you change the order or something. It just goes, man.
I don't know.
So that's an interesting question about coding styles in SAMBA 4. We've decided for SAMBA 4 to require a C99 compatible compiler or something close to C99. And so that means we use the new structure initialization methods, etc. But it does mean that we can't no longer compile with very, very old compilers. So that means on older platforms you need GCC. But it changes the way things like structure initialization is done.
Okay. So you just have to put your function pointer here and they will just be called by models of you and you will be responsible to call the models behind you. Okay. Lifetime model was the first one I've made. It's really easy, so it was easy to debug and test all the thing. As you see, for example, in timestamp it does not really intercept search, so I just call the next module. LDB next search is a thing to call when you want to call the next module. So you don't have to know what module is next, but just call these helper functions. Go down, event instead, intercept adds operations. In that case, it just generates the time, the current time, it picks up the current time from the system. And updates few fields, create timestamp, modify timestamp, people that use LDAP know them, but those are the Active Directory ones, one created when changed. And then just pass to the following model. It modified the message, created a message to, and passes it over. If it fails in this case, it just calls the next model without modifying the object. So a failure in timestamps model in this case is not a problem. So what you have to take care of when you write module? First thing, remember that modules are initialized when the LDB file is loaded. So if you have to open something that, for example, another database where you do some comparison or something like that, remember that on initialization you can do that and then keep the database open until you close the LDB database. You can set up private data structures and you should only use private data structures and not use global, because modules can be oriented. For example, in the schema module, on an adding operation, I do an LDB search. So if you keep global data, you may just mess up everything. Because your model can be called several times, because other models may be do a full search or another adding operation, something like that. And during initialization, you should set up a data structure if you need to clean up on close, because as you have seen, there are no close functions, and so when talloc-free starts, it must find a data structure if you have to close sockets, file, free structures, and things like that. Currently, loading a model is not realizing I would like it to be. You have to modify LDB models.c, but we will be able to dynamically load them once we will have the infrastructure in place to load dynamic models. Well, let's go on. Okay.
So LDAP server that has been covered by Bridge already. Is it also? So just a few things. Can I use LDB? Yeah. We encourage other projects to try to use LDB. Currently it's only available by downloading December 4 source code, but we are thinking of trying to make it separate. Anyway, you don't need to build and install the whole December 4 to use it. You can build LDB alone. It is what the requisites are, of course, the libc, TDB, in case you want to use the TDB backend, Talloc, and LDAP libraries, if you want to use LDAP backend. Kernels, we test it on 2.4, 2.6 kernels. The thing that you must make sure is that locking is working properly on your platform, because TDB is really sensitive to locks, lock problems. It may wreck your database if lock doesn't work. Licenses. We initially made LDB LGPL, and currently TDB is LGPL. So if you use a GPL license, probably you have no problems. But lately we changed LDB to use Talloc, because Talloc is so fun. but Talloc has a GPL license. In case open source project want to adopt LDB technology, we may discuss about releasing also Talloc under the LGPL license to make it's easier to integrate another open source project that have GPL incompatible licenses. So references, summer source code, summer source code, and you may also use a different TDB for source.net, but we will need to update it. I tried it yesterday, it doesn't compile very well. So.
So mentioned there is now ldb.samba.org as a separate LDB site. Currently it's a very small site, but as more information about using LDB in other projects becomes available, we will update ldb.samba.org.
And if you need to make more questions in the future, just use Samba Technical mailing list or join us on Samba Technical IRC channel. I have questions. I think we have little time, but can answer some
questions. One or two questions, maybe. When using the editor, what will happen to password changes?
Sorry?
When using the editor, the interactive one,
mm-hmm.
like VI or something?
You can choose the editor. You just need to set an environment variable, and you can use just the editor of choice. You don't need to stick to VPI. That's what I use.
Yes, but what will happen when users are changing the database?
Well, you may end up having problems. I think it just compares on the fly, so it gets the changes. That would mean that they will be
replaced. The way it copes with that is when you exit the editor, it doesn't save everything you've edited straight into the database. That would cause a problem if the database was being updated. So if you have the whole administrator record and somebody else is editing administrator, if it saved the whole administrator record, that would be a problem. What it does is it constructs the LDIF, the differential LDIF, between what you initially got into the editor and what you saved, and applies that as a delta to the record. So if you only changed one field, then it calls LDB modify to alter just that one field. It does, yes, it does a replace, actually, on the fields that you have edited. That means that if somebody else has been editing other fields in the record, that's fine. So if two people are editing the same field in the same record at the same time, you're in trouble. But there's really, without locking the whole database, there's no way to prevent that. But it does at least do the minimal delta between what you've changed.
Are the file lockings in future, the information for the file locking TDB in future in LDB?
So you mean if we'll have mechanism to lock fields in LDB?
I think locking.tdb Are we going to convert locking.tdb into an LDB?
Locking.tdb will stay as a TDB. We are going to change only the database that require searching, basically, and indexes. Simple things and for things that needs speed, we will keep TDB.
Because we experience a problem with locking TDB, because at the end of the day, it is not cleaned up. There are entries in the TDB, no user is connected.
That's not a TDB problem. That's just
and so
SMBD
we, so
problem.
So we have to delete the locking TDB every day, and then it works. But whole day, the user cannot access this, this particular file.
So that's just a bug in Samba version 3. And the problem was that in Samba 3, when a lock entry is created in the database, when an error occurs, it needs to remember to clean up that lock. And it tries to do that, and there is code in there to clean up the locks, but it's delicate code, and occasionally it gets it wrong. This is where Talloc comes in. In Samba 4, we can associate arbitrary objects with a memory context. So in the hierarchy of the memory context of a connected user on a socket, eventually all the way down, there is a piece of memory associated with that lock. When the socket goes away, all of that memory flows down and gets deleted, and the lock gets removed. So the by using the hierarchical Talloc, it should be much, much harder for that sort of thing to happen, and it should get deleted automatically just through the flow through of the Talloc free. So we're hoping that sort of bug won't crop up anymore, but if it does, then please let us know.
Yeah, I think we are now at the end of this talk because we run out of time. We have one other talk in this track. First of all, thanks, Simo, for